All right, so today, if you can't tell by what's behind me, we're not into our Exile series. We've been done with that for, this is our second week now that we've been done with that. And we're going into our new series, which is going to be in Philippians, so we'll start that the next week. It's going to be really awesome. So we did something last week called Back to Basics. Who was here last week? Raise your hand if you were here last week. So we had a few people in the room who were here last week. It was fun. It was a good time. So I was here, yeah. So what we did was, we'll talk about that. But basically what we're talking about today is just getting back to the basics of our faith, getting back to the fundamental things, right? So I'm going to read these couple quotes for you guys. Hopefully you can see them past my Jesus cross. Can you see past my Jesus cross, guys? I can take the cross down. All right, cool. All right, so we'll read this first quote. It's from this guy named Vince Lombardi. We'll throw that up. We read it last week. And he just said, excellence is achieved by the mastery of the fundamentals. And I told this story last week about how Vince Lombardi, he's this really famous coach. Anybody ever heard of this guy, right? Super Bowl trophy named after him, awesome football coach. And he was teaching, like, professional guys who've been playing football for many, 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 many years. And he would start off his football camps by picking up a football and telling these grown men who've been playing football since they were, like, 8 years old, like, all right, this is a football. And that's the way he would start everything. He would just go back to the very basics of football. But you would say, man, that's a silly thing for him to do. But this guy had many championships, probably the best coach there ever was, right? So getting back to the basics of things. And then we talk about the Michael Jordan quote. I threw it up last week, too. We'll read that. Second best player ever there was, second best. He said, you can practice shooting 8 hours a day, but if your technique is wrong, then all you'll become is very good at shooting the wrong way. Get the fundamentals down, and the level of everything you will do will rise. So, again, so you got this great player. So he's not talking about talent. He's not talking about all those different things that brought him to this level of being, you know, named the greatest player there ever was, right? You know, I mean, he's so old, but everybody will stand in line all day to get a new pair of Michael Jordan sneakers, right? So he got to that level of greatness, right, by doing the simple things right, doing the basic things right. Like I said, getting those fundamental things down elevated his game. So we kind of talked about that even for us as believers, talking about the fundamental things, basic things in our faith. When we get those things down, then we kind of elevate ourselves in our relationship with Jesus, just even in our understanding of what is happening, what has happened to us. So what we did last week, and we're going to throw up some pictures. I think we got some pictures to show from you guys. We got into groups last week, and we talked about some things. So we'll throw up some pictures from last week real fast. I think we got them. Next slide. Bam! All right. So that was one group. Who's in that group? That's Matthew. I see Kirsten. I see Summer over there. All right. So that's not. Is that Brett? Is that you? It's Brett. All right. So go ahead and run through the next one, too. Then we had another group over here. Right. Then we'll show the next one, too. Look at Adam in the corner. Then we'll show the next one, too. I see you, Carlin. There you go. Simon's in the cut. Like, don't bother me. All right. So, yeah. So what we did, we broke into groups last week, and I didn't preach at all last week. I told them that they were preaching, and everybody was like, what? All right, so, but what we did was we talked about salvation, redemption, justification, and sanctification. All right, so we took all those big words that we all hear throughout our lives in the church, and we just took them and we just like, hey, present this in a way that would an unbeliever, somebody who didn't know Jesus, would be able to understand. So we just took those big things that are they are fundamental things of our faith, and we just broke them down. It was fun, you know. It was a little chaotic, but I mean, it was fun too. It was really cool. I was proud. I was like a proud daddy. All right, so like I said, the things that we did talk about, the first one was like salvation. All right, so who was in the salvation group? Who was here? Salvation group, raise your hand. Were you in salvation? Yeah. So we talked about salvation and just talking about breaking it down, like, man, that we were rescued, that we were people who were rescued from our old ways, right? Evil things that we used to do, but the Bible says that we just did things in our own, like, passionate way. The things that we were passionate about, that's what we did. We didn't care, right? That we were saved from those things. Then we talked about redemption, right? And the example that I gave the group, who's in a redemption group? Raise your hand. Boom. So the example that I gave them was talking about in the Bible where the Israelites were taken from Egypt, right? They were slaves in Egypt, and they were taken from that position, and they were moved into what? The promised land, right? They were away from slavery, away from captivity. So we talked about like that we're redeemed. Like we're taken away from one position and put into another one. Like used to be enslaved and now we're set free, right? So you have that big dynamic change that we're talking about in redemption. And then we talked about being justified, right? So I think a lot of people are like, what is that, right? So what is being justified. So we're not just talking about like being saved, but we're talking about like you're in this privileged position, right? So not only are you saved, not only are you redeemed, but now you have access to this great God, right? Now you have access to his throne, answered prayers, that you have continual forgiveness, right? Continual grace. Like you're in this privileged position in relationship with God, right? Because of what he did, that we've been justified. It's like, it's kind of like if you were a person living in a kingdom, right? That you would receive all the benefits of the king that you were serving under. It's kind of the same thing with Jesus. So we're in his kingdom and we receive all the benefits of him being king over our lives. And then the last one we talked about was sanctification. And it's just the process of us being set apart, right? That we've been set apart by God for a special purpose, right? How the Bible talks about it, he calls us holy people, right? His holy possession is what he calls us. And we've been set apart to do special things, right? So we're holy, set apart, and so that our ways should be like that too. The way that we act, the way that we talk, the way that we think, that we're continually made to be like Jesus in our life. So from the time that you knew Jesus to the time that you go see him after you die or he comes back, there's this process where you're continually looking like him as you get closer and closer to that time. All right, so the question that you got to ask, right, after you kind of walk through those things, we're talking salvation, redemption, justification, sanctification, right? So you got to ask, how do we receive these great things, right? How do we receive all these great things? Because none of us worked for them, right? None of us earned that right to be redeemed. Nobody earned the right to be justified. Nobody was good enough, right, to receive all these great benefits. So, man, how do we get there, right? So the one thing you have to say is that when we talk about, like, the gospel, right, that always comes to it, like, the beginning of it. Like, it's the beginning story of everything is the gospel. So I want to ask you guys a question. Let's see if somebody can answer it back to me. Courtney's eyebrows went up. All right, so somebody tell me, what does the word gospel mean? Does anybody know what the word gospel means? That's right. It means good news. Who did somebody else say it to? I heard some other voices. You had your hands raised. I saw. Were you going to say good news too? All right. So just that one word, the gospel, means good news, right? Some good news. That's awesome.
My chains are gone. I've been saved.
Right, so when we talk about the things that we have received, right, salvation, redemption, justification, sanctification, all those things, we've received them through the gospel, right? We receive them through his cross, right? That amazing grace that happened that one day, right? Because we can get used to hearing, right, all the goodness, right, all the goodness of who we are now, right? That we're saved and we're like in this process where and continually forgiven, right? That thing, that goodness can, you know, it can kind of become numb to us, right? So we want to take a look back to where it even all started, right? The beginning of everything, while we stand the way we stand, while we're able to look like Jesus, while we're no longer in captivity, like we start at the beginning and we start at his grace and the grace of his cross, right? So even talking about Jesus's first sermon, right? The first sermon that he ever gave, right? He stood up in a place like this, right? There were people around like this. He grabbed his Bible. It was a scroll, but he grabbed his Bible, right? He began to read and talk about this good news, right? This gospel, this good news that was going to happen, right? It's just Luke chapter 4, 2 verses 18 and 19. And it simply says this, and this is Jesus speaking. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and the recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed." So this is the first thing that, you know, Jesus kind of got up and said, and then he closed the book, and what he said was, "Your seeing is fulfilled this day." Today, you're seeing these words come to life, right? So Jesus just closed that book and said, this is what's going to happen, right? This gospel, this good news is going to happen. When you hear that, like, you're like, that's amazing, right? That we get to be set free, right? No longer captives, right? That we were oppressed by the enemy. Like we were bullied by the enemy. And Christ says, no longer. This day, these words are fulfilled, right? He says, the favor of the Lord. Like this is the year that the Lord is going to cause this to happen, right? And you hear that and you're like, man, that is amazing. That is good news, right? And even for the people that were sitting there, they're probably like, that was amazing, because it says that everybody looked at him. Even as he went and sat down, it says everybody looked at him intently. Right, because there's something different about this guy speaking with authority. Like he's laying it down, closing the book, like, I'm going to fulfill this. Right, you have that happen. Right, and then they're looking at him like, well, there's something different about that guy. Right, there's something powerful happening. Right, and they can't even look forward. Like we can look back and see, but they can't even look forward to see that it was going to happen through him dying. Right, you say that God is coming. This is the year that he's going to cause it to happen. His grace is coming this year. And then you think about it's the fact that he's coming, and then he's going to give his life for us. That's amazing grace, right? So even as we talked about being redeemed, right? So we even look at Matthew chapter 20, verse 28. It simply says, this is, again, Jesus speaking about his mission, what he came to do. He says, even as the Son of Man came not to serve, but to serve, right? Jesus didn't come to be served, but to serve all of mankind. Now, how he's going to do that, he's going to give his life as a ransom for many. That he's going to give his life as a ransom for many. Right? So his life, when we're talking about the life of Christ, the reason why we're not oppressed, the reason why we're set free, the reason why we're not in captivity, the reason why we can see now is because he gave his life, that he came to give his life. Right? So we can say his life is what would set us free. That's what was going to break the chains. That's what was going to remove the oppression and bring that freedom for us, was his very life that he came to give. And then we can also say that just that word ransom. He said, I came to give my life as a ransom for many. We talked about this last week as well, is that if you're paying a ransom, that means somebody is being held at a price, right? If Jesus said, I'm coming to give my life to pay for somebody, that means that there's a person, right, that's being held captive that needs to be paid for. So God came, gave his life, right, as a ransom, he said, for many, right, that we were ransomed, that we were the ones, right, we were the ones that were held captive, right? So Zach, he's going to click twice for me. Boom, we're the ones who were ransomed, but Jesus' life literally bought us, like he literally paid for us, right? You could even put that in the context of buying someone's freedom, like, you know, how slaves sometimes would have their freedom bought for them, right? You can even put it in that context right there, that we were enslaved to sin, but our freedom was paid for by the life of Christ. That's amazing grace right there. That's what amazing grace is. When you think about those things, because like I said, it's easy for us to get into even the big words and get into the things that we're used to hearing. Right? But when you get down to it, there's a cross, right? There's a cross and there's a life that's given. When you get down just to the beginning of it, to right to the meat of it, there's a cross and there's a life given for us. And we can talk about what put him there, right? I mean, it's not like we're trying to, like, remember who we used to be and bring up all those bad things, but he came to give his life for a ransom because we were held captive by our sins. Like, it was our sins that put him there. Not that he wanted to do it. It was his desire to redeem mankind from the very beginning. That's what his desire was. From the first time that Adam fell, God said in the garden that through Eve was going to come a man who was going to crush Satan's head right at the very beginning. That was his plan all along, that he was going to come and fix this. That was his plan all along. But what happened? It was our sin, our fallen nature that had to be taken care of on that cross. So here's what I want you to do right now. I want everybody to grab a pen underneath your chair. Everybody grab one. Ms. Courtney's going to pass this to the ladies over there. I'm going to pass this around to the fellas. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to write down. I want you to write down the sins that you may have struggled with before you knew Jesus, right? So you can write those down, what you've been redeemed from, right? Then I want you to write down even some sins that you may have committed recently, right? Nobody is going to see it, okay? So you're just going to write down. Everybody's going to participate. Just write down some things, some sins. It could be really generic. You can get specific if you want to. Right, but we're just going to write down, and it's just on one piece of paper, just write it down. Our leaders are participating, I'm participating, everybody's participating, and just write them down. And then when you get done, I want you just to fold up that piece of paper. Take your time if you need to. Okay. So Zach's got some music he's going to play. While Zach is playing that music, I want everybody to line up on this side. So girls, you could come this way. Fellas, you will come this way alongside here, the stage here. What we're going to do is we're just going to take these.
The moon and stars, they wept. The morning sun was dead.
Let's get after it.
The Savior, come on up. Of the world.
Fold up your paper. We got thumbtacks up here. Grab a spot.
His body.
Push it in.
On the cross. His blood poured out for us. The weight of every curse upon him.
Come
death, where is your sting? Our resurrected King has rendered you defeated, and now forever He is glorified. Forever He is lifted high, and forever He is risen. He is alive, and He is alive, and now forever. Shake, the storm was rolled away, His reckless love could not be overcome, and now death, where is your sting? Our resurrected King has rendered you defeated, and now forever He is glorified.
So what we're going to do right now is that we're just going to read through some scriptures, just kind of applying to us about our sins being on this cross, what that means for us, right? So the next one, the next verse that we're going to read is Isaiah chapter 59, verses 16 and 17. And I want you to hear the voice of God in this, like listen to what He does, right? This is what He says. He saw, this is God. God saw that there was no man, and He wondered that there was no one to intercede, right? On our behalf. Then His own arm brought Him salvation, and His righteousness upheld Him. He put on righteousness as a breastplate, and a helmet of salvation on His head. He put on garments of vengeance for clothing, and He wrapped Himself in zeal as a cloak. Right, so God saw that there was no one, right, that could redeem us. There was no one who could save us. There was no one. He looked at that, and He was displeased when He saw that. When He saw that there was no one to save us. And He says, I'm gonna do it myself. That I'm going to come myself. That he put on armor like a warrior. Right? You look at that. He put on these things like a warrior. Come fighting for us. And I love the last one. It says that He put on zeal, which is passion. So He put on passion like a cloak. That's the last thing He put on. Right? So you can see God, like, I'm coming for you. Like, I'm coming to make this right. Like, I'm coming to bring back what we had before, that right relationship. He said, my own arm is going to do it. Right, so you look at that and you see that God said He's going to do it Himself. Like a warrior, He's coming to bring salvation for His people. Right? Then you look at Isaiah chapter 53, verses 4 and 6. And then it says, surely He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed Him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. Right, so in the one context, we have God, this great warrior, putting all of these things on, coming to save His people, and this is how He does it. Right, this great God, He says, I'm coming to save you, and this is how He does it right here. Right, He's going to bear our griefs and carry our sorrows. And it says that we esteemed Him stricken and smitten by God and afflicted, but He was wounded for our transgressions. And He was crushed for our iniquities, and upon Him the chastisement that brought us peace, and with His stripes we are healed. And like sheep, we have all gone astray. We have turned every way, everyone has done it, to his own way, and the Lord has laid on Him the iniquity of us all. Right? So you have that warrior God saying, I'm coming to do this, and this is how He does it, that He carries us, that it says, our sins were laid upon Him on that cross. The sins before we knew Jesus, the sins after we knew Jesus, the sins that we don't know we're going to commit in the future, that everything on that one day was placed upon Him when He was on that cross. Everything. So we have peace. We have salvation. We receive all those benefits that we talked about. We get to receive all those things, which is good news. It's amazing grace. But it came through him being stricken and smitten. That's a beautiful thing. That's an amazing grace. That's an amazing God that we serve. So it's good for us to look back in this context, to look back and see what had to be done to get us where we are. It's good to look back and to remember, right, where we've come from. Not that we're going back there, right? Not that this nothing defines us from here. Nothing. But it's good to look back and remember how much it cost. Because when we think about the price of something, I'm telling you right now, my man Drew, who paid for a PS4 out of his own money, I guarantee you that thing is well taken care of, right? When something is so worthy, right, that costs so much, is so precious, that we handle it the right way. So the things that we receive, we want to handle it the right way because of what it cost. So we're talking about steadfast love. We're talking about grace. We're talking about kindness. We're talking about mercy. All those things, the Bible says, were lavished upon us. You ever lavish on something? Like you just, I mean, just it's like a smothering mother just loving on her kid. The kid wants her to stop, but she's not going to. She's just lavishing her child with love, right? I love moms like that, by the way. But we've been lavished upon with these things from God. A love that never fails, even when we do. Man, that's awesome. That's good news. So when we look at all these things that we received, there's got to be some things that come out of it, right? That we got to say, like, man, this has got to be it right here. So the first thing I would say, and I'm just going to lay it out for you guys, is that because of his grace, we should fear him. Because of his grace, we should fear him. And this is what David said straight out the Bible. He said, God, it's because of your grace that I fear you. So look at David, my man. He committed adultery. He murdered somebody. He was a little prideful. I mean, my man was not a perfect person. And God continually gave him grace, And David says, man, God, it's because of your grace that I fear you. It's so good. It's the reason why I fear you. Right? So even God's grace for us, it should cause us to want to, like, be close to him. Not in a fear, like, I'm scared of you, but a respect, an awe of him because of the great grace that he's given us. Right, man, I'm in awe of you, God, because I look behind me and I see what I used to do and who I used to be. And I see where you've brought me and how you've changed me and made me new. Your grace makes me stand in awe of you. I'm in awe of you, God. And the next thing I would say is that, man, his goodness should lead us to repentance. And I said it last year all the time, don't be afraid of it. Repentance is a good word, right? That we're turning away from sins and turning toward God. Right, so when we hear about his goodness, right, when we hear about his crosses and his amazing grace, man, it should cause us to want to turn, cause us to want to turn away from some things in our life that we may not have turned from yet, right? That we want to turn from those things and turn towards God. And the last thing I would say, and I've said this before, but I want to say it again, is that don't let the good news become old news. Don't let this cross become the old rugged cross. Don't let it become stale to you, right? Let that be fresh. I love how Paul says, man, the gospel is power to him every day. Man, we got to remember the gospel. We got to remember where we've come from and what God has done in our lives. Like, man, don't let the gospel become something that just because you've been in church all your life, and like I've been in church all my life as well, but man, I don't want that story to become just a story. Just because I've heard it so many times. I want that to be alive in me. I want it to be like flesh, like fresh blood flowing through my veins, pumping my heart. That's what I want. I don't want it to become something that I just throw to the side because I've heard so many people say it. I've heard this story so many times. Yes, I know Jesus died for me. Yes, I know I'm set free. Yes, I know the chains are broken. Yes, I know. But do I know it on the inside? Do I know it in here? Right, because if I do, it's going to cause something to come from me, which is probably praise, right? Which is probably worship, probably is right living before him. That's what the gospel is on the inside, coming out of us. That's what we want. We don't want it up here. Don't let the gospel be a story and a report to you up here. Don't let it be that. And let it be life to you. So that's what we're going to do. We're just going to take some time to remember. Because even with God, when he set the Israelites free, that's what he told them to. When he brought them to that promised land, he told them, he said, remember me. Remember me. And this is what he says. The Israelites, they were in slavery, redeemed, right? He redeemed them. And then he brought them to the promised land. And he said, you're about to walk into this. It's going to be milk and honey in here. You guys are going to receive all these things that you did not work for, right? Even if you remember the story, you might have where two people had to carry grapes because they were so large, right? You might have heard that story before in your life, right? All these great things are inside of this promised land. What does God say? Don't forget. Don't forget my works and where you were. Don't forget about Egypt and how you were there before. Like, don't forget about it. Not that I want you to have that mentality of that you're held captive, but I want you to remember from which I brought you from. Remember my works. So that's what we're going to do right now, is that we're going to remember. So let's read 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and 19. And it simply says this: knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. That's how we were ransomed, through the precious blood of Jesus. Let's not forget that we were ransomed from those broken ways through the precious blood of Jesus. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to take some time to remember, is that we're going to have communion together. I'm going to pass this around on this side. You guys can just take one, pass it back. Miss Courtney will. Yeah, I'll pass it around. Will help me out with the ladies. Here we go. Because it's one thing that Jesus said when he was with his disciples. He said, do this in remembrance of me. I want you to remember me. Remember me in the sacrifice that I'm about to make, that I'm about to lay down my life before you. And he said, do this often. Probably should do it more. But we're going to do it today. So what I always like to do, because the Bible says that this isn't just juice. This isn't just, you know, plastic covered and bread. This is not what's important, right? But it's what it symbolizes, what's important, right? And we'll talk about that. But it says that when we do take communion, it's not just something that we do, right? It's just kind of just like baptism. It's not just something like you just do because, you know, your mom said, hey, I think you're ready. Right, it's something that you do out of the right heart, right? That's what we want to take. We want to make sure that when we take communion together today, that we do it out of the right heart, that we're right before God in our heart before we take this. Okay, so what we're gonna do is that we're just gonna bow our heads. Zach's got some music he's gonna throw on, and then we're just gonna take just a minute. And I just, if you got things that you need to confess before God, you can do that, you know, to yourself. Just get yourself right before God, before His presence. Think about how you would go before a king, right? Just an earthly king. Now, put that times a million, and let's prepare ourselves to go before the King of Kings.